And now, Pick of the Bunch, a chance to hear again some of the best items broadcast this week, specially selected for you by Gail Warning. Hello. In Wednesday's edition of 24 Hours and Hours and Hours, the Home Secretary was asked by Kenneth Allgassengators how he looking back on a lifetime in politics. This was the Home Secretary's answer.
Those were the days, my friend, we thought we'd never...
So sorry, that was, of course, the wrong recording. What the Home Secretary did, in fact, say was... And Saturday's great international soccer match between England and the rest of the world. And we join the match with the score 6-6, 1 minute left to play, and England about to score that winning goal. So over now to the commentator, Kenneth Wurstenhammer.
Oh, sorry, England scored just then, apparently.
I didn't notice.
Sorry.
And finally, music. And we close with a piece from Radio 1's up-to-the-minute pop programme, the BBC concert of popular favourites for you, Daddy-O. Dave Lee and the boys with their symphonic rendering of the Angus Prune tune bring you inevitably, indubitably, inanely, in a couple of minutes. Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Melody. In yet another, I'm sorry, I'll read it again. And here to tell you about it is John Otto Cleese.
Oh, no! It's I'm sorry, I'll read it again!
I'm sorry, I'll read it again. Rip off. We report on the army.
And we ask the question, is it really a man's life in the army?
Well, if you don't know by now, kind of.
The British army at the moment stands at 50,000 strong. 20,000 not so strong and about 300 people.
But will we keep our figures up?
Speak your own figure, baggy.
Having lost the empire, we are now having to say goodbye to our commitments east of Stuart.
Bye-bye, Salome.
Bye-bye, soldier.
But will this mean the disbanding of more fighting units? For many today, the choice is either disband or deathband, and not surprisingly, most of them choose disband.
But we in Britain today must face the fact that every day our soldiers are dwindling.
Good. Dwindle.
Our troops stationed abroad are being cut down.
Ouch!
And even at home, the army are not attracting as many men.
Why are you looking at me?
So, if we are to build up a new fighting force, the question we must ask is, why do men join the army? What do they hope to find?
Hello, soldier.
Hello, Salome.
And once they've joined up, what do they want to get out of the army?
You're quite right.
Why, what do they want?
To get out of the army.
In other words, it looks as if a recruiting drive is the only answer, but with a new approach.
So far, army advertising has tried to attract young men by inviting them to...
play games, join a club, learn a trade.
And by assuring them...
it's a clean, healthy life in the British Army.
But now they're going to try a more truthful approach. And they've recently commissioned an absolutely honest commercial to let recruits know what the real attractions are.
Head up with your wife and kids. Get away for 2 years. To the Far East. It's hot and sweaty, but you can skive off to the beach. And there's plenty of adult entertainment. If you know what I mean. If you're bent on sport, or if you're bent on learning a trade, or if you're bent... we have what you want. And if it's music you fancy, well, there's a sing-song in the barrack room every night.
For a different...
of course, if you're creepy enough, you can become an officer and enjoy the unequal satisfaction of humiliating your inferior. Lecherous, conniving bully with 2 or less O-levels? There's a career for you in the army.
The army seems to have lost some of its respect and traditional dignity. To see if we could find out why, we talked to the man who is colonel of the Dagenham Girl Pipers, the notorious Mad Twitch. Good evening, sir. I would all love to know how you earned the name Mad Twitch. It's rather not say... can read the full story of Mad Twitch in his own words. In of your favorite Sunday newspaper.
But of course, it's not all hard work in the army. And the modern soldier has plenty of opportunity for spare time pursuits.
Hello, soldier.
And at the end of the day, the fighting man can look forward to taking time out and putting his feet up in the comfort of his own little army hut. Even the sergeant major hurries home to his wife and kids.
George's fucking dinner! George's ready to be putting home for his supper! Here!
Hello, dear. You're home nice and early.
Hello, 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 you horrible little woman! Smart enough now! Smart enough! Show this man! Some again! Cheers! Oh, all right, that's fine enough.
Have you had a nice day, dear?
Peace, Muggins!
Yes, dear.
Peace, Muggins! Be glad to welcome up from you!
Welcome home, dear.
Peace, Muggins! Kissing my number! Prepare to kiss! Kiss! To the... My pipe and slippers ready for his picture.
Yes, dear. Here they are by the fire.
Right then. Where do you keep your mind? Where are you? Come on, Billy.
Here I am, Daddy.
Baby Jimmy.
Please tell me a coffee.
That's only sympathy. All prisoners drink. Yes. Report to your mother in the kitchen. Baby Jimmy, you report for potty training. And they can have it out. Good. Please. Wait for it. Please. Wait.
End of his career in the army, what can the old soldier look forward to? Well, he has the prospect of retirement spent in the company of his old comrades, looking back in the twilight of his years over the days of his youth, and casting the eye of experience over the events of the day.
I don't. Long-haired fellas. Can't tell if they're fellas or females these days.
Fellas or females?
You take that young son of mine, Beatrice.
Yeah.
I put him down for a commission in the Blues the other day.
Put my boy down, Sue.
Did you put my dog down the other day? Sorry to lose him.
What happened?
Got a commission.
Well, the young recruit of today is not the same fella he was 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Where was he in 1914? That's where I'd like to go.
Yellow bellies. Yeah. The youngsters of today are nothing but a lot of long-haired pippies.
Long-haired pippies.
Listening to hop music. Sung by these long-haired pippies.
Shocking noise. Don't understand a word they say.
Pardon? Maybe, but I can't understand a word they say.
Neither can I.
Pardon?
Service, national service, to them all good.
Teach him a bit of discipline.
When I was their age, I joined up, went off to war, and got killed.
Yeah. You wouldn't find these modern youngsters doing a thing like that.
Long-haired intellectuals.
Yes. Had all my hair blown off in the war. I've got a wooden wig.
Yeah, I thought it was odd. You combing your hair with a chisel.
When I was in France, I lost 3 legs.
And the gramophone.
Yeah, I had my gramophone blown off.
Yeah.
I had my hat blown off.
Had to get a wooden one.
Yeah. I had everything blown off.
Completely wooden, yeah.
These modern youngsters, they'd laugh in your face.
Long-haired
pussies. Chaps like that have lost us the war.
Then no other country's coming to know this place.
In the middle of this.
These mini skirts.
What about them?
These mini skirts. I mean, you look all right, but I can't.
And now, a late football result. The Army fore, the Navy aft. And now a song from Billy the Kid, Oddie.
See the little children waiting in the morning, wonder where they're going, want to know. They're anticipating the journey of a lifetime. Everybody ready, then away, let's go on a hovercraft ride, a hovercraft ride. We're all going on a hovercraft ride, a hovercraft ride, a hovercraft ride. Everybody going on a hovercraft ride. Better than a tandem or a penny fall, better than a donkey going clip-clop, and nicer than a coach trip, smoother than a sleigh ride, slicker than a surrey with a fringe on top. On a hovercraft ride, a hovercraft ride. We're all going on a hovercraft ride, a hovercraft ride, a hovercraft ride. Here's a fun going on a hovercraft ride.
Last night, a West End supermarket was broken into, and 7 pounds of cheese and 50 bottles of aftershave were stolen. Police are looking for a very, very sexy mouse. And now, it's time for your favorite cereal.
You will grow up strong and tough with a plate of breaky pop. Living a break.
Now, our favorite cereal. Last week, we did episode one. And the electric time trousers. Those of you who didn't hear it probably haven't switched off yet, so before you have time to get to the knob, here's episode two. Too late.
Time trousers. You do that
really
well. Thank you.
Before we start, I'll quickly tell you what happened last week. And to do so, I'll sit on this settee.
Ah, the story so far.
Professor Prune, his nephew Basil, and his sister Trixie, their mechanic Percy, and their dog Spot, have all thrown off the electric time trousers when they discover the notorious German spy helmet is stowed away in order to get their secrets, which they won't give him, and so he threatens to crash them. And the Napoleon Solo has been hijacked by a gang of international soap thieves, but Ilya Kuryaki is on... Well, look, I switched over to Man from Uncle. Anyway, here's episode two of...
Electric Time Trousers.
What's gone wrong?
Well, I'm afraid the inlet manifold has completely disengaged the hypersensitive flanges, and the radio cardiac tuners are no longer sparking the alpha beam charge centers.
In other words,
it's broken.
You dog!
Well, shut up!
Helmet, you've done this, haven't you?
No, I haven't, sugar does.
You're lying.
And if they're not tickle toes?
Well, I...
Hang on, Candy Nicks.
Don't keep calling me those names.
Enough.
Get all embarrassed.
Well, if it's not Helmet, it must be Irma's deadly enemy.
Look at the telescreen.
Sure enough, there on the screen, the face that at that moment they least wanted to see.
Oh,
Harry.
No, it's not the actual Ross Harris. I know it looks exactly like the real thing, but it's a robot, an incredible machine which moves with strange, jerky movements, with a monotonous, high-pitched voice, and relentless, inexhaustible, mindless energy.
Just like the real thing.
Exactly. But don't be fooled. It's all a wicked plot to take over the world by our most deadly enemy.
Who's that?
NB, the identity of the most deadly enemy will be revealed in a later program.
Oh,
we'll do something to keep him listening.
Uncle, the robot's speaking.
I'd
there, Coleman. You won't be the champion. You will be an annihilated sport. You will be the annihilated sport.
Oh, you'll never make us crash. We'll destroy you. We have a gamma ray.
Hard cheese, the old naked. Hard cheese, the old naked. We have a dead ray.
No. A dead ray fires 500 jags a minute. No one stands a chance against it.
And at that moment, the Aussie's deadly Ted Ray let go a vicious fusillade.
I'm not in my way. Yeah. But if you don't keep going, she walks herself to sleep trying to get up here. No. My way, she's going to beat like a million dollars. All beating quickly. Wait a minute, Ricky. My dear Ted Ray, you've got to be dead.
Darling, ha ha!
The time trousers shuddered, and the instruments went haywire.
Down, down, down fell the time trousers, hurtling from the star of the galaxy, and to the star of the galaxy.
Did you say that?
Yes.
Radio, will do.
Thank you.
The professor scrambled to his feet.
Count me up, Pete.
Spot shook himself. Shut up. And the children found themselves lying in a heap.
Oh, well, I'm afraid the time trousers are a bit crumpled, but if we're all right, let's get outside.
The trousers are all jammed.
Then we'll just have to use the emergency exit. Out you come, everybody.
They found themselves in the middle of a dark, dark forest. The eerie silence disturbed only by the crying of an owl.
There was the occasional sound
of a bear. Somewhere
a wild turkey was gobbling.
Ah, delicious.
And a few small birds were going cheap.
Right, monkeys! All of them dead!
By them ran a clear stream full of strange flat fish.
What
manner of place is this?
Who knows? We've traveled through time and space. I have a feeling we're in a vast primordial forest full of gigantic prehistoric trees that are flourishing long before the coming of mankind on this earth. Either that or it's somewhere else.
Some large hoof-headed creature has passed this way very recently.
Yes, quite right. Fox picked up its scent.
Oh, it's a bottle of love in a mist.
How incredible. An effeminate moose.
And into the clearing rode a gaily clad huntsman on a dazzling white horse, which immediately told them they were in the 16th century.
Me, you're in the 16th
century. The swarthy hunter dismounted and came towards them. The man wore gauntlets.
Hey,
stranger, who are you?
I might ask you the same question.
Oh, that'd be a coincidence.
I am master of the Queen Hunt, Sir Ewan Cry. I've come out to see if I've caught anything in my gin trap.
And have you?
Not a bottle, no. The Great Queen will be most interested when I take you back. But first I shall bind you hand and foot. Sergeant, give me a thought.
Certainly. Hello, dear, hello, dear. Are we at the sound of a beauty?
As our little band were led through the streets of London, the onlookers howled their derision. Until they came in sight of the Tower of London.
No, I don't want to go in there.
Why not?
It costs £5, and it's incredibly boring.
This is a magnificent fortress. Look at these great towers and those impregnable bastions and those sturdy,
bulwarks.
I beg your pardon. The little party is still on the edge of the moat as the drawbridge came down. We must saw a foot off that drawbridge. They were led to a magnificent central hall. The walls were hung with beautiful Persian carpets, and the floor was covered with wallpaper. Over the throne was the great seal of England. We're expecting the Queen's arrival any minute, and then we'll see if she'll give you an audience.
If it's better than this one.
Madam,
At that moment, a fanfare sounded.
Never.
not mine.
God, you'll become my mate.
I'm not paying. I won't do it.
Who?
Professor Prune, think of the children. Professor Prune, if you don't marry Her Majesty, they will all suffer. It's either you or Basil.
Are you marrying her?
You shall be punished. It is our habit in our court to make punishment fit for crime. If a man runs away from the army, we cut off his leg. If a man, not too fast for us, please. If a man steals, we cut off his hand. So, if you refuse to have me, we shall show you no mercy. Come, take him to a torture chamber.
Friends were led away protesting. Professor Prune, the children, and Percy were thrown in a dungeon. There they stood amongst all manner of hideous instruments of torture. Thumbscrews, chains, burning coals, a never-ending tape of the bachelors. First of all, a machine that stretched them over a scorching fire. The toast rack. And beside them all, with flaming wicked eyes and a bushy black beard, was the chief torturer.
You will be annihilated, Spot. You will be annihilated, Spot. You will be annihilated.
Sizzle our friends on the toast rack and bring back the ashes. Who is the mysterious Queen Elizabeth? What's happened to the faithful dog? Shut up. Do six million housewives really listen to Jimmy Young? Listen next week to episode 3 of
The Time Travelers.
In the foregoing half hour, the cast of thousands was reduced for reasons of economy to the voices of Timbrook Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bilotti. The script was written by Bilotti and Graham Garden. The song was written by Bilotti. The music was arranged by Leon Cohen and played by Dave Lee and the boys. And the production was by David Hatch and Peter Titheridge. Before we close, here is the shipping forecast.
The Queen Elizabeth should be passing Land's End about now.
And here is John Otto Cleese.
Oh, no! It's inferior! Read that again! Again!